You know, we're getting closer to the end of this calendar year, just a few weeks away, and I was reflecting on the fact that as we start this new year, one of the most important things you and I can do is to think about if we had to have one thing for this next year that we really want to make a priority in our life to bring glory to God and benefit to ourselves, what would that one thing be? I got a chance to write that book called The Power of One Thing. And so we're going to hear stories of people today from all around the country who are sharing the one thing that they've been doing, what God's been teaching them and how it's changing their life. And I want to give you five things from Scripture. Maybe you feel like you need a breakthrough from The Power of One Thing. We'll get to that in a few minutes as well. Dr. Randy here along with Jennifer and Stephen from our Intentional Living Center talking about The Power of One Thing.
My one intentional thing would be I want to grow in my relationship with Christ and reading the Bible and praying.
My one thing has been finances and making sure that I tithe and give offerings.
One thing that I do intentional, I feel that it's praying for my son.
One thing that God has been doing in my life is showing me the importance of love, of how much we need to give love away to other people.
My intention is praying with my husband when he's at work and I'm at home for the next 30 days.
So my one thing for 30 days is to get up earlier and set my alarm for 4:45. I want to get up at 4:45 and have my quiet time with the Lord.
All right. Lots of wishes, thoughts for this, not only the rest of this year, but going into 2026. And from our Intentional Living Center, one of the things we do focus on is this thing of the power of one thing. And I was doing a little Bible study. I mentioned it the other day, and I found five references, probably more, but five powerful references about one thing in Scripture in both the Old and New Testament. What I found interesting was there were different emphasis. For instance, we see King David back in Psalm 27, where he's reflecting on his life. He's reflecting on what's priority in his life. And he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, and the one thing was to be in his presence forever, Psalm 27. It raises the issue, what's one thing you're going to be asking from God? What is it? Commit to that daily in prayer. That's a powerful thing. We go to the New Testament, John chapter 9, and the blind man, he had gotten his sight back. Jesus had healed him, and he was being interrogated by the Pharisees. They were trying to find some flaw in this whole thing. And finally, he turned to them and said, hey, listen, one thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see. You know, I guess that raises the question, what one thing do you know for sure? Wow. What has God given you? Are you grateful for the things that God has provided for you? There's another passage in the book of Luke. And of course, this is the encounter of Jesus with Mary and Martha in their home. And Martha was busy with many things, and Jesus turns to her and says, Martha, Martha, one thing matters, you know. And this is a reminder of the importance of staying focused on the things that will keep us, distract us, if you please, from the things that are most important. And then we see in Mark chapter 10, we see the rich man in the encounter with Jesus, and he wants to know how can he find eternity, eternal life. And Jesus says to him, go and sell everything you have. Follow me. Now, he wasn't saying we have to get rid of everything we own to follow him, but he knew that that was a hard issue for this guy. And maybe that's an issue in your life as well. One thing, what's holding you back? And then, of course, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, where he says, forgetting those things which are behind, this one thing I do, I press toward the goal. What I found interesting in that little Bible study is that in each case, the emphasis on one thing was in a different area. Maybe it's a heart issue. Maybe it's a time issue. Maybe in your life going into 2026, it's an issue with your family, your finances, your health, your work. What one thing would bring glory to God and benefit to you and those you love? That's what we're focusing on today. All right, let's get to the callers. Most important, that's why we're here. Going to Georgia. Lisa, what's your one thing about money, apparently?
To stick to my budget.
So you have a budget, you just don't stick to it?
Yes.
What happens? Why don't you? What pulls you away?
I I go shopping, and then I just end up buying stuff.
Okay, so your intention is good. We call this a good intention, by the way. Your intention is good. You have a budget. You know what the plan is, but then you don't have the habit to execute it.
No.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. What one thing could you do different this month that would help you not overspend? What's one really practical thing that could change that wrong direction?
Stay away from the stores.
Okay. How do you, I mean, do you spend cash or do you use credit card? What do you do?
Credit card.
Well, maybe if you didn't have a credit card, that would, you know, we got a call one day, Lisa, from someone similar who wanted to, they wanted to keep a credit card, but they didn't want to have access to it. So they got a coffee can, filled it with water, and they froze their credit card in the ice compartment of the freezer, knowing that they could only get to it after it thawed out. And by the time it thawed out, they'd changed their mind.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like you're too thrilled with that idea.
Maybe I'll try that.
Well, listen, you know, if it's out of sight, you don't have access to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just as simple as saying, you know, if I have a problem using credit card, I'm just not going to carry it with me. I'll keep it somewhere where I can only get to it if I have to get to it. But if I can't, if I can't control it, I'm going to just cut it up and go on cash only. I mean, if you were just to say I'm going on cash only, that'd make a big difference.
Sure.
You know? So here's the thing, Lisa. What I hear you saying is you want to do it. This is one thing you know would make a difference. How committed are you to doing that one thing?
I think I'm going to be very committed.
Yeah, I'm not quite so sure. All right, we're praying for you. I can hear the hesitancy. Listen, you know, one of the things about the power of one thing is if you don't do it, it doesn't help. And finding out what is it that's the roadblock to keep us from actually following through. We talk about two things, unintentional living and good intention living. Good intention means I know what I ought to do. I even pray about what I ought to do. I have a goal to do what I'm going to do, but then I don't do it. That's procrastination, right? Then there's another group of us who struggle with an unintentional life, which means we're busy with a lot of things. At the end of the day, we're tired, but then we realize maybe we didn't focus on that one thing that was most important. That's what we're talking about, the power of one thing. We'll have more for you here in just a minute.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Why do so many of us live in this valley of indecision in our life instead of saying yes or no to the issues of life? And I thought of, and you could probably think of many others, but I thought of five things. First of all, the fear to be wrong. Many people just fear being wrong. They don't want to be wrong. Some people fear loss because there's always a loss. Here's the truth. When I pick this, I don't pick that. Or the fear of missing out. Or the fear of not knowing enough. Some people say, hey, until I know everything, I'm not going to make a decision at all. Or the fear of looking foolish. Some of us just, you know, I don't say yes or no just because I'll look foolish. It comes down to fear. Write the word fear. Fear, fear. What does Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. That's God's intention for us. That's a reality.
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month that's up on our member site at theintentionallife.com for those who are part of our ongoing membership community supporting the ministry every month. You got a little code to be able to access that, a password. And if you haven't received it, please let us know so we can get it to you. And when you join, we'll make sure that you do receive it. Now, there's a lot of other very helpful resources available for you there for everybody, because that's our goal. But we do have this site within the site just for our members as a way of saying thank you for your ongoing support and a way to encourage you. Today, we're talking about the power of one thing. And if you want to share your story with us, you can do so on our storyline at 888-1717. Here's Candy
Candy, we're talking about power of one thing. Sounds like it's about your parents. What did they do right?
No, when I heard this, I really wanted to call in because my parents, they did not serve God too much when they were raising us. They didn't go to church. They didn't do a lot of things. But they did instill in us some very good things, and we didn't know they came from the Bible. Such things as those will be first, will be last.
Yep.
Things like do first things first.
That's good.
That really helped, and especially doing the one next thing.
Yeah.
And many things, and also not doing for us what we could do for ourselves. They made us fiercely independent.
Ah.
And that is really came to, you know, in our adult lives. And I have six sisters and a brother, one brother in heaven. And my mom and dad did one other thing that was good, because you can imagine how hard it was to raise that many kids. But they instilled in us, and we had this in our home constantly, was humor.
Oh, wow.
We had a lot of humor.
Yeah.
So that went a long way. And you know, Dr. Randy, we all serve God now. All seven of us girls right now, still alive, in our 60s and 70s, and we are all so close. We get together all the time. And I know a lot of other families don't do that, and so I feel very blessed.
And you laugh together, I bet, when you do.
Oh, yeah, we really do.
That's great.
We have what my dad used to make. My dad used to make these things he called homemade jokes, and we do that all the time.
They're the best. That's terrific.
Oh, by the way, I do want to encourage you this way, because I got from you a long time ago, listening to you doing the one next thing that was right.
Right.
Well, I began to do that, Dr. Randy, and I'm telling you, I was able to get rid of addictions and envies and jealousies and contentions and things in my life that were just so destructive. But I knew I could start with one good thing, sexual purity. I started with that. And then I went, and now here it is all these years later, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Megan, listen, you're doing one thing. You know what? For those of you who are new to intentional living, we know, we recognize that there are so many stresses and forces in our life. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to be different than what the world is. Doesn't mean we want to be weird. We just want to be different. And the reason we want to be different is because when we bring glory to God, which, by the way, is a good thing, the trickle down into our life is enormous. My wife, Don, and I have been followers of Christ for a long time. Not perfectly. We're just ordinary people, sinful people saved by grace. But we have tried to be intentional things with our finance and our relationships and other areas of our life. And we've seen God's blessing. And whenever we've got out of that lane and we try to make decisions on our own, get caught up in just being unintentional with our life, we recognize there's something missing. God's intentional love for you is so powerful, and we love you so much that we know that when you decide in your life, just like Megan said, maybe it's in the area of your purity in your life or finances or work or your attitude or your thinking, when you say, hey, for the next 30 days, I'm going to ask God every day, this is my one thing, I'm going to focus on this one thing, and I'm going to thank God for it at the end of every day, and if I fall down, I'm going to get back up and keep going. And when we do that, that's a powerful thing in the process of learning to live intentionally for Him. And that's why we do that. All right. Actually, we're going to go to Megan next in Texas, who's been standing by. Thank you, Megan. What's your one thing?
Something we do in our house is whenever we come into a situation or a problem, we just ask each other, you know, what would Jesus do, or what would He want us to do in this moment?
And how do the kids respond to that when that comes up?
It actually works, you know, and a lot of times they'll even use it on me, and I'm like, okay, you know, you're right.
How old are your kids, Megan?
Helpful. I have six kids from ages 7 to 14.
All right, so give us an example of something that might show up that you asked that question.
We could get daily, you know, so-and-so wants me to share, but I don't want to. Well, would Jesus want you to share? You know, would He want you to be kind in this moment? And yes, so
yeah.
That kind of thing. To my teenagers, you know, dealing with girls at school, and you know, how would he want you to handle this, you know, compared to worldly way to his way?
Listen, our thinking makes a difference, doesn't it? When we get intentional around that area of our life, what a huge difference that makes. Hey, listen, Thanksgiving's coming up. It's going to be here in just a few days. And I want to say something to our Family Life Radio listeners all around the country. The team and the leadership is doing something pretty special for after Thanksgiving, right up until Christmas. And that includes intentional living. We're going to be celebrating Christmas with some special. We're going to have music, and I'm going to be doing some drop-ins. We're going to hear childhood memories. We're going to hear people sharing their one word for Christmas. And of course, stations all around the country will continue to receive our regular intentional living program. But I want to mention that for our Family Life Radio listeners coming up, and that's going to be, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't believe it. Thanksgiving's already here. Wow. All right, Rosie, I think you are next in Arizona. Sounds like you're challenged with your thinking. What's going on?
When I notice very negative or angry or judgy thoughts about myself or others, I change the channel on my thinking. Like in the old days, we would go up to the TV and change the channel and turn the dial. So I remember the scripture, I don't know where the reference, but have all thoughts, have my mind be captive to Christ. Mm-hmm. So then I notice, first of all, just noticing that that's going on and that those are thoughts, that's not reality. But secondly, then replacing it with another scripture. Frequently it's the Philippians, think on these things.
Right, Philippians 4:8.
Whatsoever things are lovely. Mm-hmm. Pure. Yes. So that's what I mean.
Yeah. And by the way, that first verse you mentioned for people who are following and like to take notes, it's 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. I'll tell you what, I did a lesson a number of years ago, Rosie, and I called it pothole thinking. I think many of us kind of get along in life and all of a sudden it's like we drive into this giant pothole with our thinking and we get, you know, we get stuck. And it can be negativity, it can be criticism, it can be blaming. And Satan loves that stuff. It becomes a clutter in our life that keeps us spiritually from growing. All right, question to you. How has that made a difference to you?
At work, instead of the criticism, it's not usually criticism out loud, but it's in my mind, I will take an interest in others or I'm an older gal, so lead by example. And in my relationship with myself, because I live alone, I'm a widow now, like laying in bed at night, I'll notice the big pothole. And sometimes I'll just say out loud, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Flee. I belong to Jesus. And then I'll just start worshiping Jesus. And so it makes the world of difference.
Hello, Dr. Randy. This is Astrid, and I'm just calling to say thank you because your program has helped me a lot in my relationship with my whole family, especially with my husband. Since I discovered your program, I find out that the person I love the most after Jesus and God is my husband and my kids. I just wanted to celebrate my marriage by telling everybody that I found that I love my husband the most when I please Jesus. Thinking every day, what will please Jesus? What will be intentional? I love my husband the most with his mistakes, his efforts. Thank you, Dr. Rand. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, listen, another family impacted. Thank you. Your support's making a difference. We have so many powerful, practical stories of life change that we get to share with you from day to day, and it's a fun thing to do. And Stephen and Jennifer and I, we appreciate being a part of your life. That's why we're here. We're talking about the power of one thing today, for sure. You know, TJ, looks like you want to share with us. I don't know if it's so much about one thing, but you certainly have a story to share with us. Go right ahead.
I appreciate that. At so many levels, I'm like, wow, and humbled and amazed at some of these callers, particularly that Felicia, because yes. it doesn't matter how far, and I'm going to try and not be choked up about it, how broken or how whole we think we're coming from of a situation, because at the end of the day, we couldn't get any closer towards perfection than Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Mm. And there in the midst of perfection, you have kids with perfect, infinitely perfect, perfectly loving father, and they still went astray. Yes. So even more so in just how broken, maybe this world now is as broken as it was back, you know, in Cain and Abel and Lamech's day, because that was pretty ugly, and we know because Noah was in short order, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I bit off the whole enchilada with respect to needing, with the responsibility I felt to be in charge of just the mandate, you know, like what you just said from Deuteronomy, because that was the thing that hit me, like rising, like laying down when you're walking, when you're along the way, which is right. Like, okay, that's when we're in the car, right?
Yep.
And went full on into homeschooling away from professional career, away from medicine. You know, my husband and I, both physicians, and just feeling the weight of the responsibility in the day and age that our kids are being raised in, maybe because of just the medical landscape, but between like myself and a fellow church member who was also a youth pastor, who was a prosecuting attorney, I just know both of us, his wife also, you know, stepped away from law because the kids are in such a dire need. And I'll tell you what I feel most and more than anything, now that I have adults, children on the backside, and I still have another student left that I haven't completely shaped their mind and really laid the framework and groundwork in, because now that the olders are there, they're still going to choose their own path. They're still going to be, you know, their vista launching out into the world is still like, oh, wow, look at everything that's out there. And, you know, whether they're coming from a perspective of like, wow, mom and dad, what all did you hide from us? Which wasn't much when you have a physician in medicine and a prosecuting attorney as their youth pastors, they literally would go like, okay, between the two of you guys, enough. We hear way too much. Like, his deal was, I have two things, stay married and love Jesus. And then you won't end up in, you know, divorce court or something worse. And mine was, you know, definitely, I just realized how much can I overload them? And the one thing that I am hanging on to, because even within homeschool, the mantra is kind of like, children are a 30-year crop. It's mm-hmm. getting them to the point where they're having to lay down the rails for the next generation themselves. Like, which way are they going to go? And the one that I can land on was a prayer that I still pray over my youngest one when we start a school day. Because honestly, I don't want to say the biblical foundation hasn't mattered, but they have to test the waters of their own faith. And it is my prayer that when I pray with them, like, you know, because we're learning a lot, but whatever age, it's like, Holy Spirit, I bless their eyes and ears and lips, their heart and mind and their hands and feet, Lord, that they would hear and see the wonders of your creation, and know and comprehend deep in their spirit the great, great love that you have for them, that they would go and reach out and touch the world with that same love.
Mm-hmm. Well, TJ, thank you. I'm glad you got through today. You know, we've been focusing on one thing, and while that wasn't really your just a one thing call, it really is a one thing focus. You're saying, hey, my focus is making sure I raise these kids to be intentional with my family, even setting aside for a while my profession as a physician to really focus on the things that are most important in my life. Boy, you know, we're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about priorities. We're talking about doing the next right one thing. And TJ certainly echoes that. Love to hear your story, by the way. What is one thing that God's been teaching you in your life? Come on, be a part of this. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Leave that on our storyline today. Boy, we appreciate it. All right, let's wrap it up here. Stephanie, you're next. What's going on with this topic?
So the one thing I am trying to do is study on and reflect on how God sees me. instead of how the world sees me. And I have been studying, and this is pretty recent, but I have been studying, you know, I'm wonderfully made, all of the things that God says that I am instead of what the world says that I am. And I'm focusing on that.
And how's that made a difference?
Oh my gosh, such a difference. Like, just my attitude has changed, my perspective on certain things, whether it's talking to people or whether they're talking to me, just my whole overall perspective on not only conversations, but on myself and what I project on others has changed.
What brought you to the point to want to do this?
A good friend of mine, he recommended that I start to see the value in myself and what I have to offer and what the plans that God has for me and my assignment. And the more that I research it and really delve into scripture and get into it, it opens up your eyes and it really does shed a new light on many things in your life.
What's a verse that you've been lingering with, or a verse that's made a difference you could share with others?
There are several. One of my favorite verses is the one that says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged."
Yeah.
I love that, because even though we might feel like we're discouraged in the world with all of the worldly things that go on, that he's standing right there. And I think sometimes we take that for granted, that he's right beside us.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't get anxious or afraid or anything like that, that he created us to be courageous. And he's right there beside us to do that. And so many times we look to ourselves and not to God.
Yes.
And that's one of my favorites. I definitely reflect on that one quite a bit.
Being courageous. Wow. Great way to close up the show today. Thank you much for doing that. Hey, as we wrap it up, I do want to just do two things. One is to say thank you to each and every one. If that's you and you support the ministry, thank you. You may be as an individual doing this as a family or even as a business. We're totally listener supported. We're on the air because of your financial support, and we thank God for you. You mean an awful lot to us. And secondly, to invite you, if you're not a part of the community, come on in. We need you. Your support matters. Help us close out this year strong, and so we can give great Thanksgiving as we enter into 2026. How do you do that? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.